Hallelujah. Thank you that we can know who you are by all the names you revealed to us. When you reveal yourself to us in all those names and all those ways, our victory, our banner, our healer, our peace, creator, the lamb, the lion, El Shaddai, Adonai. Hallelujah. So many names. Only one true God. You're just one God, known by many names. Because they reveal your character and who you are. Father, Abba, Father, today you have made us your children, and we're your friend, and you reveal truth to us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. What an awesome worship. What an awesome worship. Thank you, Lord. Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Welcome to Lots of Love Ministries. We're so glad you've decided to join us. Whether you're here in the house or listening to the replay online, your willingness to listen and learn is appreciated more than you know. Today is November 16th, 2025, and I want to invite you into one of the more mysterious, almost cinematic scenes in the Torah, the day Jacob, the patriarch of Israel, called Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, to his bedside to bless them. It's a story rich with prophetic meaning, family dynamics, and if we look closely, profound revelation about our status and identity in Messiah. Today, we're going to talk about the blessing of the firstborn. But before we jump to the message, let's open with prayer. Yahweh, our Father and King, we come before you with open hearts, grateful for the privilege of gathering as family, Jew and Gentile, young and old, all made one in Messiah Yeshua. Thank you for your word, which is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you for the story of Jacob and his grandsons, for every lesson you hide in these ancient pages, and for the way you reveal your love and wisdom to each generation. As we open the scriptures today, open our eyes to see the wonders of your Torah. Open our ears to hear your voice. Open our hearts to receive the blessing you have prepared for us. By your Spirit, teach us what it means to be called your children, to walk in the fullness of the firstborn blessing carried to us by Yeshua, our Messiah. We surrender tradition, expectation, and our own understanding to you. Guide us by your Ruach, and let every word spoken today bring honor to your name, the name above every name, the name of Yeshua, the firstborn Son and our Redeemer. We pray this in that name. Amen. Let's set the scene from Genesis 48. Jacob is old. His eyesight is all but gone. And he knows his days are numbered. He only has a few days left. So word comes to Joseph that his father is ill. And so Joseph brings his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, to Jacob's bedside. What follows is a strange and powerful transfer of blessing. In the ancient world, the blessing of the firstborn son was an enormous deal. It meant inheritance, authority, responsibility. The firstborn son would receive a double portion and carry on the name and spiritual legacy of the family. This tradition was almost unbreakable. Now, Joseph lines his sons up for the blessing as you would expect. Manasseh, the older, at Jacob's right hand. Ephraim, the younger, at his left. Everything is set for a ceremony that reinforces expectations, tradition, and maybe even fairness. But Jacob, whose life has been full of reversals and surprises, does something that shocks everyone in the room. With deliberate intent, he crosses his arms, putting his right hand, a hand of greater blessing, on Ephraim, the secondborn, and his left hand on Manasseh, the firstborn. Joseph is immediately disturbed. "Not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head," he says in Genesis 48:18. But Jacob refuses. There's a sense of gentle stubbornness, almost an echo of his old wrestling matches with angels and men. "I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. Nevertheless, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations," is what he says in Genesis 48:19. Why does he do this? What does it mean for Joseph's sons, for all of Israel, and for us today? There's a detail here that is easy to miss. While Joseph protests and tries to have things put back in order, Manasseh, the firstborn, says nothing. The text gives us no hint of jealousy or discontent. You never hear about Manasseh arguing with Ephraim or fighting for what he felt was rightfully his. There's a certain peace in accepting God's sovereignty, trusting the Father even when his right hand appears to be crossing expectations. It's a snapshot of grace. The blessing of God isn't about striving or demanding, but about humbly receiving what God wants to give, whether we're firstborn or not. I believe it's a prophetic picture of Israel, the church, and the blessing of the firstborn. Rabbi Kurt Landry draws out a remarkable insight here. He says this moment is a prophetic picture. And I agree. It's almost a drama about Israel and the nations, the Jewish people, and the church. Think about it. Manasseh is the natural firstborn. He came first, and all tradition said the primary blessing should go to him. That's Israel. Ephraim, born second, receives the same firstborn blessing, the right hand. That's a picture of the Gentiles, the nations, the church, grafted in later. Joseph, standing for Yeshua, son of Jacob, beloved yet once rejected, tries to keep things in order. But the father, Jacob, knows what he's doing. Both sons, in the end, are blessed. Both inherit. One is not rejected because of the other. Paul writes in Romans 11:17-18, "If some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not boast over the branches." God did not replace Israel with the church, nor make the nation superior to the Jewish people. But by God's infinite grace, he extended the blessing of Abraham to all who are in Messiah, whether Jew, natural-born Jew, or Gentile grafted in. We are all one in Messiah. We all inherit the blessings of Abraham. We are all co-heirs with Yeshua. Paul says it again in Ephesians 2:13-14. "But now in Messiah Yeshua, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Messiah. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, who has destroyed the barrier, Jew and Gentile, firstborn and second, one new man in Messiah, with no second-class citizens in his kingdom. Oh, hallelujah, what a blessing. The crossing of hands, this blessing of the younger, or the unexpected one, is not new in Scripture. The living God has a habit of crossing arms and flipping human expectations upside down. Remember, Abel, not Cain, finds his offering accepted. Isaac, not Ishmael, receives the covenant. Jacob, not Esau, is chosen before birth. Even David, the youngest of many brothers, is anointed king. Why this repeated pattern? It tells us that Yahweh's order is not based on the world's rules relating to tradition, pecking order, seniority, or pedigree. It's based on his sovereign choice and his overflowing grace. In 1 Corinthians 1:27 through 29, Paul writes, "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are." Very interesting. But when Jacob crosses his arms, not a mistake. It's a preview of what God would do, reaching those who never expected anything, inviting those far off, honoring those the world forgets. And listen, if you have ever felt overlooked, undervalued, or second place in life, Yahweh has a way of seeing you and calling you by name. Yahweh's blessing finds you right where you are. Oh, hallelujah, what a blessing, what an encouragement, because I know I felt overlooked, I felt undervalued, and I have definitely been made to feel like I'm second place in life. All through my life, I used to say I have the second or middle child syndrome because I have an older sister and I have a younger sister, and I'm the middle, and I felt treated like not as valuable as them, because my older sister was treated as the firstborn. And then my younger sister, she was the baby. So me as a middle girl, I didn't get treated, you know, fairly in my eyes. So I developed a middle child syndrome. But you know what? I'm not second class. God sees me, God values me, and God will raise me up in due season if I put my trust in him and focus my eyes on him. And that's what I'm encouraging you today. If you feel like you're overlooked, undervalued, or second class citizen, or in second place, trust in the Lord. He can cross his arms and bring you up to the first place, or at least equal with first place, if not over, because it's not about being above one another. We are all equal in God's eyes. In God's eyes, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, male or female, master or slave, rich or poor. No matter your station, no matter your DNA, we can all be the same, be equal in his eyes, all joint heirs. Hallelujah. Isn't that encouraging? What a blessing to know that God doesn't see us as second-class citizens. In Genesis 48, it's not just about two boys and their grandfather. It points forward to Messiah himself. Colossians 1:15 through 18 proclaims that Yeshua is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Romans 8:29 says he is the firstborn among many brethren, the prototype son whose destiny we now share. Hebrews 12:23 speaks of the assembly of the firstborn. That's the gathered, redeemed church. Even the Passover points to Messiah. The firstborn of Egypt were slain, but all sheltered under the blood of the Lamb were spared, Jew and Gentile alike, according to Exodus 12. Yeah, some of the Egyptians came under the protection of the Jews. Smart ones. Yeah, they were smart. In Yeshua, every barrier is torn down, and the double portion blessing of the firstborn is given to all who are in him. Oh, hallelujah. This is an encouragement to me. Oh, really? What does all this mean for you? Well, and me? Right here, right now. Well, first, if you are Jewish, know that the covenant promises are still yours. Never forgotten, never replaced. God's love for Israel is everlasting. You are the firstborn, never excluded from the Father's hand. I am not one of those who believe in replacement theology. The church does not replace Israel. If you are Gentile in Messiah, you are not a second class. You are adopted, grafted in, brought into the family, and have access to every spiritual blessing. Galatians 3:28 tells us, there is neither Jew nor Greek, for you are all one in Messiah Yeshua. So whether you came first as a natural born Jew, or you came second as a Gentile who believes in Messiah, the point is, it's about belief in Messiah. Whether Jew or Gentile, it's all comes together in Messiah, Yeshua, our Messiah. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, if you don't believe in Messiah, you're not in the tree. Remember, the branches can be removed. And they will be removed if they don't believe in Messiah. But if you believe in Messiah, even if you're a natural Jew who did not believe at first, and you were removed from the tree, once you believe in Messiah, you're grafted back into the tree. And those wild olive branches, once you believe in Messiah, you're grafted into the tree. One true God, one tree, one body, one spirit, all one in Yeshua Messiah. So third, I want to say, there is room at the table for both sons. If God's arms seem crossed, if his choice or his blessing confuses you, offends your tradition, or feels unfair, remember Jacob's words. I know, my son, I know. The Father knows what he's doing. We are all brought to the table. We're all made one in him. One big happy family. Amen. You don't have to feel left out whether you're Jew or Gentile, because we're all one in Yeshua Messiah. And the fourth point I would like to make here is, we are all welcome, but we don't compete. Remember, the older brother in the story of the prodigal son, found in Luke 15, his offense at grace kept him outside while the party raged inside. How about let's stay in the house? Bless when others are blessed. To my Jewish listeners, rejoice in the mercy and grace of Yahweh, who receives Gentiles to the table, who grafts them in. Grafts them in through Messiah, Yeshua. And Gentiles, don't get a high and mighty mind because some Jews don't believe in Messiah and you think you're better than they are. No, you're not. Because as soon as they believe in Messiah, they'll be grafted in, grafted back in the tree, and you'll be brothers and sisters in Messiah. We want to preach the gospel of the kingdom. We want to share Messiah, Yeshua, with our Jewish brothers and sisters who are not yet believers. We want to be a blessing and be blessed. Let's all party together. Amen. So what does Genesis 48 really teach us? That our God does not make mistakes, that he delights in mercy, that he can bless both hands, both sons, both those who expect it and those who feel forgotten. And most importantly, that the blessing of the firstborn, which is access, inheritance, identity, comes to us through Yeshua, not through our own status or striving. Today, I invite you to trust in him, not just with your past, but with your identity and future. If something in your life feels cross-handed, let God be God. Manasseh did not struggle or fuss. He knew his place in the Father's plan was secure, and yours is too. We bless Israel. We love the church. We honor Messiah Yeshua. And we say together, thank you, Father, for knowing exactly what you are doing. Let's pray. Abba, thank you for being the God who sees, the God who blesses, and the God who crosses his arms with perfect wisdom and grace. As we close this time together, seal in our hearts everything you have shown us today. May we rest in our identity as your beloved sons and daughters, chosen and cherished, not by our strength, but by your mercy. Help us rejoice in the blessings you give to others, and the blessings you give to us, and to trust your hand when our path feels unexpected. Bless your people Israel with peace and comfort and the fullness of your promises. We bless Jerusalem with peace today, and we pray for their peace. Let shalom come to Jerusalem. And we know that the blessing goes to those who pray for Jerusalem. So we pray for them today. And we remember all those who are in strife and struggle today. All around the world, there's so many wars and so many conflicts. And we thank you for peace. Protect your people. Bless the body of Messiah around the world, knitting us together with cords of love. And send us from this place as agents of reconciliation and grace, confident in the inheritance we have in you, Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. May your face shine upon us, and may your blessing go with us wherever we walk. We pray this in your precious name, the name above every name, Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen. Now, as you leave this place, be safe. Live life this week as ones blessed by the Father. And may there be shalom in your home.